Gentlemen and Disappointments. We are coming to you live from the Woman Caves in New York and Connecticut. My name is Leslie.
And my name is Melissa.
And we are Verbally Disastrous. This podcast is copyrighted through the U.S. Copyright Office as well as the Writers Guild of America. Hello, everyone. This is your host, Leslie M. Jasper of the Verbally Disastrous Podcast. This podcast can be found on over 20 podcast platforms, including YouTube. For this episode, I'm going to discuss my juggling act that I did for many years between working with the tools and motherhood. I recently met a very warm and friendly working professional who was in the midst of motherhood. I shared with her that I have a podcast. She told me that she is often exhausted from her weekly grind. I did tell her that it does get much easier on the other side of raising small children, especially when they become grown. Thankfully, the struggle does not last forever. She suggested to me about speaking on how I juggled motherhood, home duties, and working with the tools. This podcast and my writing all help out now to fill in my time that used to be occupied with both my work grind and mom duties. I've taken up painting as a new hobby within the past year or so. I have Melissa to thank for this relatively new hobby. I deal with back pain nowadays, so that somewhat forces me to scale back on my exercising and adventure activities. I'm honestly glad that my back problems popped up later in life and not during the boys' younger years. This would have made my routine really miserable. One of the biggest challenges that I faced was being a walking zombie at different stages in life, since good sleep was difficult to attain. I felt like I could get some decent sleep on the weekends once each son turned 7 years old. Another challenge during my time juggling mom duties was getting in self-care time. My idea of self-care time is not bubble baths or shopping. I hate that shit. My vision of getting in, quote, Leslie time was in the form of getting in some gym time. In my younger years, I rarely let myself have an excuse for not getting my exercise in for the day. Historically, I managed to be a, quote, gym rat for many years. The endorphins and the energy from getting in gym time is rather addicting. In the past, I had to always make some form of arrangements for my sons and some sacrifices in order to get my gym time in. I either had to get up super early to train before going to work. I had a treadmill and elliptical at different points in my living room, or pay extra for the babysitter to hold them longer to get my gym time in after work. Now, my first couple of years of my apprenticeship, the only thing I had time to do was work and go to school. Later on in my career, after my apprenticeship, I did work on 7-hour projects many times in my career. I would take advantage of that time and hit the gym right after work for an hour and then go pick up my sons at daycare. If the drive to work was shorter, then I'd be able to dedicate even more time to the gym or running errands. Later on in life, my significant other was home so I could step out to the gym. I do credit my gym time with helping me keep my strength so that I could remain an asset at work. Now that I have constant muscle spasms in my lower spine, I can't lift weights like I'm capable of doing. Instead, I now focus on cardio, like walking at night. I like to do people watching. I recently wore out a pair of Under Armour shoes in less than 9 months by doing my several miles a night people watching walk. Of course, their return policy doesn't even exist. It's unlike the Nike sneakers I had where I used them excessively for cardio. The born-on date on the tongue of the shoe was less than 2 years old or something like that. I was able to swap them and get a brand new pair. Under Armour, they suck. I'm attempting to do Zumba at home, courtesy of YouTube, for the rest of the winter, since walking in the cold is a struggle. My muscle spasms tighten up while I'm outside for extended periods of time, so it gives me pain and then they pulse. So I'm looking forward to spring. My favorite way to exercise is by heading to the gym versus doing it at home. Ideally, I'd like to go back to swimming after work. I'm holding out on a gym membership until once this COVID-19 mess goes away. I'm not going to put a mask on while doing cardio. No, thank you. Perhaps my point about the gym is that now I can do what I want since I don't have small children to tend to anymore. Yes, there is a big change in my level of freedom to come and go as I please nowadays. Once each of the boys hit the age of 11 years old, I was finally able to step out of the house solo and run errands. Being free to come and go as I wish without prior planning has been that one perk to finishing my young motherhood journey. I must mention that my two sons are 10 years apart with their age difference. Therefore, just when my eldest Tom got old enough to fly solo, I opted to go on another journey with his brother Johnny. Despite their big age difference, the two boys are super close with each other. They don't like to do things without each other. Once John turns 21 years old, they will be out socializing together for sure. You may ask me as to why I chose to have my sons 10 years apart. Well, I got married very young at 18 years old. I had my eldest son at 19 years old. My husband died in an accident at 23 years old. It happened to fall within days before my 21st birthday. For quite a few years, this tragedy forced me to work between 2 to 3 jobs. The moment tragedy struck, I was a first-year electrical apprentice heading into my second year. I have to say, struggling was truly an understatement. At $9 an hour, I was pulling in $265 a week after taxes, with a daycare bill of $150 a week. Sadly, I was mostly working to pay the babysitter during my early apprentice years. If I missed a day of work during my first year, the babysitter made all of the money for the week. Once I realized how hard the situation was flowing for Tom and I felt extremely discouraged. However, I knew that as each year passed, my wages would increase along with the journeyman wages that were on the horizon. I can't imagine not having that on the horizon for me to look forward to in the future. Sadly, those initial dreams of a white picket fence with a happy ever ending life felt like they faded away. They faded away quickly. I went on full zombie mode with working as much overtime as I possibly could take on. When I bought my house, it was empty. I believe I had a mattress on the floor, or I had an air mattress. I can't remember what. The only person in the house who had everything in his room was Tom. By the time I got into my between second and third year of my apprenticeship, I got onto a large deck job that had a bunch of overtime. Cha-ching! I would be up at 5 a.m. and on the job site by 7 a.m. under normal circumstances. The monkey wrench was having a reliable car to drive. My car at the time, it was a 1989 Chevrolet. My apprentice car was a 1989 Chevy Cavalier. They were built like a tank. Once the model from the 90s popped up, they were really light. It was excellent in the snow, I remember that. I had to start it up with vice grips. It had a passenger side headlight smashed. The hood was smashed, the light was smashed. I couldn't afford to replace it, so I managed to get tickets once in a while. I think maybe I got one or two. My car at the time had 277,000 miles on it, and the transmission dropped right in the driveway. I was forced to take mass transit, and getting onto the job site, it was about 9 a.m. in the morning. This mass transit commute involved 2 bus rides, a train ride, and another bus ride to the city of the project. On the evening trek, leaving either work or school, I either had to somehow magically get a ride from the train station to the house because the buses weren't running late at night, you know, at 10 or 12 o'clock at night. So I've done quite a few 5-mile treks to the house, and that was like a normal thing for about 9 months until I got a new car. If I was to guess, I think it was about a 3-hour commute from door to door using mass transit. By car, it was roughly a 1-hour drive. Of course, this fact of not coming in on time pissed off my general foreman and foreman on the project. I was forced to reveal a little bit more about my life. This was something that I didn't want to do, since I didn't want to give anyone ammo to break my chops about my struggle. That was the last thing I wanted. To my amazement, I started getting rides to and from work. One amazing older gentleman named Bill used to come to my house like clockwork very early to pick me up in the morning. He was always so perky and chatty with his coffee cup on the drives to work. Thankfully, he got to enjoy some years of retirement and have better weather down in North Carolina before passing away. I was genuinely happy for his retirement when I heard about it. He changed my life for the better, and I will never forget it. Rest in peace, Bill Bergeson. I've always been grateful for him for helping me out. He drove me to work every morning. He would drive me home if I wasn't going to school or my other job. My other buddy, Dougie, who brought me to the second job, and sometimes the bar, has also passed away. I went to his funeral. May you rest in peace, my friend. I did receive some donations of clothes and toys for Tom from other journeymen on the job. I chuckle to myself when I think about how some of my dishes were donations from that era. I didn't get rid of them. I have never changed them out for new stuff. I did joke with Tom that when he gets his first place, he will inherit the fine family dining set. For any hard time that I experienced, there were some good and helpful moments that followed. At the time, I was struggling with trying to get my money together on my house taxes and the costs of the house. Bunch of unexpected costs when you own a house. There are a bunch of unexpected costs when you own a house. I didn't have spare money for a down payment on a new car. My other problem was having bad credit due to a car note that belonged to my deceased husband. Let's just say I made a mistake of co-signing on that car. A powerful lesson learned the hard way. Trying to get a car note with these past problems looming over my head made it damn near impossible. After hitting up a few auto dealerships, I finally got a car note with Ford with a hefty 29% interest rate. Despite getting a rate that is considered highway robbery, I was happy and grateful to finally have some wheels. More importantly, I received a gift from a family member for the down payment on the car. This is ultimate kindness that came from my son's family that I will never forget. Nowadays, I have excellent credit and never want to experience bad credit again ever in my life. Circumstances such as bad credit contribute to the pile of being broke and desperate as a single mother. Because of my past experience, I have empathy for single mothers who are trying to do right by their children. The concept of a family sounds sweet at the thought. My experience was stressful and a challenge. The many circumstances that pop up unexpectedly along the way as a single mother can't be measured as much as they can't be fully calculated. Perhaps more actual life experiences, such as budgeting, should be taught in high school. I don't think women walk into the single mom life armed with the whole knowledge of the experience, obviously. Because I worked and had a house, I didn't qualify for any help from social services. They want you to sell your house before they give you anything, and I wasn't doing that. I was holding on by my fingernails. I didn't get large windfalls of tax returns either. I needed every penny of my paycheck from my I needed every penny of my paycheck after my silent business partner, Uncle Sam, took his cut. Fucking mafia. Another huge challenge, as briefly explained before, was the astronomical costs of childcare. I didn't have any parents or grandparents that were able to care for my children. I know at some point Johnny's grandparents were in close proximity to us. However, I didn't think it was right to push that responsibility on them. Grandparents should enjoy their grandkids and give them back to the parents. More important than the astounding cost was the availability of a daycare provider. Admittedly, both of my sons had crazy behavior problems. The eldest child managed to get kicked out of multiple daycares. I managed to find a woman who was 30 minutes away from the house. I would drive 30 minutes to daycare and then an hour to work. When it snowed, it was easily 2.5 hours each way to get home. I did that trek for 8 years, up until Tom was between 11 to 12 years old. If I didn't have someone to watch them, I can't go to work. Right next to not having enough money, by far, this was the most stressful aspect of my life. I was worried about getting kicked out of my apprenticeship for not being able to get to work. That was the worst nagging thought that stressed me the fuck out. I did have a few mean-spirited people who threatened to write bad letters to the apprentice director to get me kicked out of the program. I remember one time as a first-year apprentice, when I had no daycare for a mandatory OSHA 10 class, I begged the instructor for me to take the class while I was watching the required set of movies. Tom was wandering aimlessly through the back of the classroom. The back of the space was a residential house module with wooden studs for hands-on class sessions. The instructor was chasing him when he got into stuff, when necessary, of course. My apprentice classmates remember Tom to this day as a youngster. One of my classmates was sitting in the apprentice interview when Tom was applying to become an apprentice. The classmate shared a story about a time he remembered driving with me to a union property. Tom was in the back of the car, kicking the back of his seat. The beauty is that Tom believes, as a fellow union member, that he belongs to a family. Many fellow union brothers and sisters have interacted with him when he was a little boy. It's like he kind of grew up with the same kind of group of people that we would see periodically at, say, family picnics and parades, stuff like that. By the grace of God, I was able to hang on to one daycare provider for Johnny until he reached 11 years old. Thank goodness. Thank goodness for that family. Oh, I would have been lost. I would have been lost without them. There are some advantages to being a single mother. I can multitask like it's no one's business. I can shape up a budget super tight to keep the ship running properly each month. I've learned to take from an area and dedicate to another area and need a little flim-flamming. You need to have a car note paid ahead for a few months in order to manage and get past a crisis. You gotta have a little wiggle room. I had a lady from social services come to review my budget, and she was in utter shock. She said she didn't know how I did it since the numbers were extremely tight. For the first few years after my husband's death, I made absolutely zero unnecessary expenses. I didn't buy clothes or waste money on anything. I didn't get any credit cards for quite a few years. I remember feeling like I had some wiggle room once the credit cards came into my hand. This concludes part A on my discussion about juggling both motherhood and working with the tools. To check out Part B in the last half of the discussion, head back into the podcast platform of your choice and check it out. I thank you for listening to this point so far. For more information, head over to my website at www.constructiontales.com. I thank you for listening. Have a great day. Peace out, Cub Scout. This wraps up another episode on the Verbally Disastrous podcast that can be found on over 20 podcast platforms, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Pandora Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. For more information, head over to our website at www.constructiontales.com. I thank you for listening and have a great day. This podcast is protected through the U.S. Copyright Office as well as the Writers Guild of America.